We're going to begin by reading Proverbs chapter 3. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them round your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of His reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom He loves, as a father the son in whom He delights. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and the profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding He established the heavens. By His knowledge the deeps broke open, and the clouds dropped down the dew. My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life for your soul and adornment for your neck. Then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror or of the ruin of the wicked when it comes. The Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. Do not say to your neighbor, "Go and come again tomorrow, I will give it," when you have it with you. Do not plan evil against your neighbor who dwells trustingly beside you. Do not contend with a man for no reason when he has done you no harm. Do not envy a man of violence, and do not choose any of his ways. For the devious person is an abomination to the Lord, but the upright are in his confidence. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the dwelling of the righteous. Toward the scorners he is scornful, but to the humble he gives favor. The wise will inherit honor, but fools get disgrace. Let's pray. Lord, this morning I thank you for your mercies to bring us here together. We pray for those who cannot be with us. We lift up your name this morning, praying that you will be gracious enough to show us your wisdom, that we may not stumble through this life, but we'll do it in abundance. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you will, turn to chapter 16 of Genesis. And we're going to try to cover the chapter. I'm going to take a little bit at a time. Bear with me. I'd like for you to pray for me. I have problems and with my memory, and it doesn't seem to be getting any better at all. Pray for me, if you will, when you have the opportunity. I would cherish that, and I know God's in control, so He's the answer. Anyway, chapter 16 of Genesis, and we're going to take a few verses at a time. And if you'll read with me, I'm reading from the New King James Version. Verse 1, now Sarah, and I understand that the Hebrew pronunciation is Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. And she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, see now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go in to my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her. And at the end of verse 2, it says, and Abraham heeded the voice of Sarai. So Abram's wife, Sarah, had bore him no children, but they did have an Egyptian handmaid. She may have been one of those that handmaids or maidservants whom the king of Egypt, among other gifts, bestowed on Abram. We read about that in the 12th chapter in verse 16. So she may have been among the gifts. Since God hadn't allowed her to conceive, she requested that Abram take her handmaid as his concubine so that she might obtain children. What Sarah here does here seems to be done in faith, but it's not consistent with God's created order that we read in Genesis 2 and 24. It seems that Sarai's faith is mixed with her own understanding or her own emotional needs. She knew that God had made covenant with Abram to make of him a great nation. With her own, she knew that God had made covenant with Abram to make of him a great nation, too great to measure. And we see that in Genesis chapter 12. Let's see if I can get myself organized here. If you would turn with me to Genesis 12. Starting in verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, go out from your country, your relatives, and your father's household to the land that I will show you. Then I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, so that you will exemplify divine blessing. In verse 3, I will bless those who bless you, but the one who treats you lightly, I must curse. And all the families of the earth will bless one another by your name. This is what Sarai knew. And this is what concerned her. If you'll turn to chapter 15 in Genesis, let's look at verses 9 and 10. Okay. All right. What we've got here is two covenants. The first one in chapter 12, known as the Abrahamic covenant, and the one in chapter 15, which we discussed last week, and that's the blood covenant. So Sarai was aware of those, very much aware, but she had lost faith to some degree, no doubt. And she offered a solution. It's even possible she thought God may be going to be faithful, or maybe we just misunderstood how he would keep his promise, and this was her idea. Then Abraham listened and did what she said. And my question today would be, is anything wrong with that response? He listened to his wife and did what she said. I would suggest there is, and just this, it was a bad example done without asking for the counsel of the Lord. Unbelief worked. The power of Almighty God was forgotten. Sometimes we're in the same boat. We don't recognize or we don't remember that God is all-powerful and he's all-knowing. Now, we could look back and look at the time and remember that Abram did not have the benefit of God's word in written form, but we do today. And sometimes we make the same mistake that Abram made, that Sarah made. But I think we have instructions that may help us to avoid the mistake which Abram made. So turn with me and let us take a look at the New Testament. And I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 23 through 25. Paul writing, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." Verse 25, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her." Now, since the word says that the husband is the head in the marriage relationship and the Savior of the body, I would conclude Sarai was deceived. So Abram should have corrected her. We don't know. It's possible that Sarai didn't mean to hurt anyone, but that's not that important at this point, based on what the scripture says. The husband should not take advice from the wife unless he makes sure that it lines up with what God has said. So, what should we do? Husbands, you should love your wife enough to tell her how deceived she is, so tell the truth. It also says the husband is the savior of the body, so tell the truth. It's ironic. I think who was talking about the hand? There's an illustration I have for you, and I don't know if you had the experience, but a lot of people at one time or another learn what items they can touch and what items they can't touch, what items they shouldn't touch, and it has to do with fire or heat, extreme. Since the scripture describes the man as the head and the woman, let's make a physical illustration about it. If the man is the head, let's say that the woman is the hand. The head should rule the hand. The hand can give advice, but the head makes the decision. That makes sense? If the hand expects the head to do something, then the hand is out of place. And the head is to love the hand as if it is his own body, because it is. So after living in Canaan for 10 years, Sarai gave Hagar to her husband to be his second wife. At the age of 85, since he was 75 when he came into Canaan in Genesis 12:4, so Sarai would have been 75 years old. Bear with me. Verse 4 says, so he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. So she despised her mistress, and we assume treating her with contempt for her barrenness. So in verse 5, Sarah realized she had opened what we used to call a huge can of worms, and takes her frustration and her anger out on Abram. We see her say, my wrong be upon you. I gave my maid into your embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, I became despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between you and me. She let loose on Abram. We see that, and it was the result of her frustration, her anger. We see here that those who are not necessarily in the right, who are the loudest and the most forward in appealing to God. And for that, okay. In verse 6 it says, "So Abram said to Sarai, 'Indeed, your maid is in your hand. Do to her as you please.' And when Sarai dealt harshly with her, Hagar fled from her presence." Now the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness. It was not just wilderness, it was desert. By the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, Sarai's maid, where have you come from and where are you going?" So, what's the situation with Hagar at this time? Where have you come from and where are you going? She said, "I'm fleeing from the presence of my mistress, Sarai." And to back up again, remember, he addressed her, this messenger of the Lord, "Hagar, Sarah's maid, where have you come from and where are you going?" Hagar didn't answer the second question. Where was she? Where was she going? She was already in the Negev desert. She was running into sin. If she tried to get back to Egypt in her condition, she could possibly have died. If not, she would probably return to her idol gods in Egypt. Hagar was out of her place, running from her duties and the privileges that she was blessed with in Abram's tent. She wasn't doing her job. I want you to look at 1 Peter with me. Again in the New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 18. Remember, this is a bond slave, a concubine of Abram's. First Peter chapter 2, verse 18 says, "Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear. Not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable, if because of conscience towards God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if when you're beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God." Again, she said, "I'm fleeing from the presence of my mistress, The messenger of the Lord said to her in verse 9, return to your mistress and submit yourself under her head. Then the messenger of the Lord said to her, I will multiply, I think speaking in God, for God, with God's authority, I will multiply your descendants exceedingly so that they shall not be counted for multitude. And the messenger of the Lord said, behold, you're with child, and you shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction. He shall be a wild man. Some versions say a wild donkey type man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. If you're not familiar with the story of Ishmael, I think I say honestly that Ishmael is the father of what we today call the Arabs. Said he will be a wanderer in the wild desert, but his hand is going to be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And this did something to Hagar. Verse 13 says, she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her. She called the name of the Lord who spoke to her. She named God. You are the God who sees. For she says, have I also here seen him who sees me? She saw him with spiritual eyes, I would say. Therefore, the well was called Beer Lahairoi. Observe, it is between Kadesh and Bered. And this was lasted many, many, many years, hundreds of years. And that's why the name of the well that she was near was mentioned. Of course, Ishmael, father of the Arabs, and he made Hagar understand that she had a place, she had a job to do, she was going nowhere. And the messenger told her, return to your mistress, submit yourself, and I'll multiply your descendants exceedingly. And the fact is, I believe, at that point, she didn't know the answer to the second question because she didn't know where she was going. Hagar was out of her place, running from her duties, and the privileges she was blessed with in Abram's tent. And I've seen it likened to people today who are brought up in a religious atmosphere. And trying to get away from that atmosphere. But God took notice of her And because he took notice of her and she felt his mercy and his grace, he was actually a God who could see her. And that's the God that we serve today. He sees us. And hopefully, there's no one here who is running away from a religious, a godly atmosphere. She recognized she had it made, and God took notice of her. He sent this messenger, and we don't know exactly which messenger it was, but God took notice of her, promised her that she would be her descendants would be multiplied exceedingly, and it softened her heart. I think it made her recognize God's mercy towards her, and you may need to recognize that mercy yourself today. And the 15th verse. So Hagar bore Abram a son, named his son. Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram named his son, whom Hagar bore, Ishmael, like the messenger of God proclaimed. It says Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abram. And it may not apply in this congregation, but God softened her heart because she went back and made peace with, as far as we know, Abram's wife Sarai. So it's never too late if we recognize God's mercy towards us.